It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Did you at any time urge former FBI Director James Comey in any way, shape, or form to close or to back down the investigation into Michael Flynn? And also, as you look back...
No. Next question.
Can they halt that FBI investigation?
In theory, yes.
Has it happened?
Not in my experience, because it would be a big deal to tell the FBI to stop doing something that, without an appropriate purpose. I'm talking about a situation where we were told to stop something for a political reason. That would be a very big deal. It's not happened in my experience.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That's kind of taking us back in time. That's when Donald Trump, the president, was overwhelmed in a press conference asking if he told Mr. Comey to stop the investigation into Michael Flynn. And you heard his response. And then you heard Comey's comments under testimony, under sworn testimony, saying that he was not, as far as he knew, there had been no attempts to try to stop the investigation. And nevertheless, the media is absolutely going apoplectic. CNN has spent something like 10 hours, hyping the hearing of former FBI Director James Comey this morning, starting at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Well, the report of Comey, his statement came out, as you probably well know, yesterday morning. It's just amazing, 24 hours before the hearing. So Catherine Herridge, who is a reliable source, I'd like to start the show with her take, initial take on that statement. Let's listen.
After a January 6th briefing at Trump Tower to discuss unverified intelligence targeting the incoming president, James Comey had already discussed with senior FBI leadership whether he should be prepared to tell Mr. Trump he was not under federal investigation. We agreed I should do so if circumstances warranted, based on President-elect Trump's reaction to the briefing, and without him directly asking the question, I offered that assurance. At a dinner later that month, now President Trump asked Comey if he wanted to stay on as FBI director. The president said, I need loyalty. I expect loyalty. I didn't move, speak, or change my facial expression in any way during the awkward silence that followed, Comey writes. We simply looked at each other in silence. Later in the conversation, the president returned to the subject. I need loyalty. I replied, you will always get honesty from me. He paused and then said, that's what I want, honest loyalty. I paused and then said, you will get that from me. After a February 14th meeting, the president raised the issue of National Security Advisor Mike Flynn, who resigned a day earlier. I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He is a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Comey stated, I had understood the president to be requesting that we drop any investigation of Flynn in connection with false statements about his conversations with the Russian ambassador in December. I did not understand the president to be talking about the broader investigation into Russia or possible links to his campaign.
All right, Catherine Herridge, and that's her first part of the report. We're going to talk about it more in just a second. In fact, we're going to talk about it a great deal in the show. I want to listen to the rest of Catherine's comments before I jump in, and then I want to bring you other news, and then what I'm going to do is bring a very special guest into the studio. Actually, it's my husband, a former FBI agent for 25 years, a former prosecutor for Cook County in Chicago, attorney and an FBI agent who, served under Comey, and so we're going to talk about his thoughts, about the testimony, about the written statement, and about what's going on. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But let's first listen to the next part of Catherine's report on the Comey written testimony. Here it is.
Comey continued. It was very concerning, given the FBI's role as an independent investigative agency. The FBI leadership team agreed with me that it was important not to infect the investigative team with the president's request, which we did not intend to abide. We also concluded that, given that it was a one-on-one conversation, there was nothing available to corroborate my account. In March, Comey made a rare public statement.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election.
About 10 days later, Comey got a call from the president where he described the investigation as a cloud impairing his ability to act on behalf of the country. He asked what we could do to lift the cloud. I responded that we were investigating the matter as quickly as we could and that there would be great benefit, if we didn't find anything, to our having done the work well. He agreed, but then reemphasized the problems this was causing him.
All right, great report from Catherine. We're not done. We're going to come back to her, the last part of her report. But I want to just reiterate that, of course, you're getting a very different view if you watch CNN or some other network. CNN spent 10 hours pumping up the testimony of James Comey this morning. And even in the light of his written statement, which Catherine has explained to you from her perspective, does not prove or illustrate obstruction of justice. It's actually, at this point, I'll just tell you, on the front end, it looks as though Trump is being vindicated by this testimony. But we'll talk more about that in detail. Meanwhile, Jeffrey Toobin, who is CNN's legal analyst and staff writer for The New Yorker, had this to say, a very different point of view, cut seven.
Let's just keep this in perspective. There is a criminal investigation going on of one of the president's top associates, his former national security advisor, one of the most handful of most important people in the government. He gets fired. He's under criminal investigation, and the president brings in the FBI director and says, please stop your investigation. Right. If that is an obstruction of justice, I don't know what is.
Okay, so that's kind of the lays the groundwork. This is what's happening today. Bars in Washington are actually celebrating. They're having like special drink offers so people can come in and watch the hearing. It's just amazing. It's like a circus. It is kind of like the Roman circus, isn't it? They think they're going to see blood, so they're going to go to the bar and watch it together. But I don't know if they're going to see blood, but we're going to talk about that. There's other news I want to get to. There was really jaw-dropping report last night on Fox. William Lajeunesse, always a great reporter, and I want you to hear what he reported last night. Here he is.
My only goal was to make sure he was laid to rest with honors. That honor has been insulted by cover-ups and deception by the very people he served.
Border Patrol agent Brian Terry died in December 2010, killed by guns tied to an Obama administration plan that armed Mexicans, a scandal officials tried to hide by wrongly claiming executive privilege.
The department's belated admission that those 64,000 pages were not privileged puts the gold seal of authenticity on the House's bipartisan vote to hold the Attorney General in contempt.
Emails contained in the House Oversight Committee's report show top officials knew the ATF sent guns to Mexico even before Terry's death. It's a tricky case given the number of guns that have walked, said a deputy attorney general. A colleague replied, it is not going to be any big surprise a bunch of U.S. guns are being used in Mexico, so I'm not sure how much grief we get for guns walking. Months later, two of those guns were used against Agent Terry, a fact denied to Congress and Terry's family.
Only one possible motivation remains for all of those involved who have covered up Fast and Furious. That is to conceal their own shame and disgrace.
Even the Border Patrol, which sent Terry's team into the desert, didn't know about the operation.
I believe that if Brian Terry and his team had known this information, chances are Brian would be alive today.
The report claims the administration tried to stop the investigation by discrediting whistleblower John Dodson.
I was lied about, disparaged, publicly attacked, ridiculed, libeled. I've been transferred 11 times, denied promotion, ostracized, barred from government workplaces, and banned from public buildings.
Lawmakers noted no one from the ATF or Justice Department was fired or seriously disciplined for the cover-up.
All right, William Lajeunesse, and I mean, that reminds us really of the corruption of the last administration. Plainly put, Brian Terry was killed by a gun that the Justice Department under Eric Holder, under Barack Obama, decided they had this great idea that they would supply criminals with guns that they could buy on this side of the state. And, of course, those guns, they lost track of those guns. They lost track of more than 1,400 or 2,000 guns that they allowed smugglers to buy because they thought, well, we'll trace those guns and that will help us in the investigation. It was a failed investigation, and it cost the life of Brian Terry. And also in Williams' report, he says that the they found that Holder's Justice Department viewed the Brian Terry family as a nuisance and did everything to quiet them and not give them information. Of course, the worst part, they discredited the man that you just heard in that clip. You heard what happened to him. It's a disgrace. And remember, the President Obama gave declared executive privilege to Eric Holder so he didn't have to testify. Then Congress held him in contempt, and then he served the rest of his term, doing as much lawlessness on the back end as he had on the front end. So that takes me to another story. Yesterday, the president, former President Obama, was appearing in Canada. And this is an account from the Daily Mail, who is, you know, certainly not anti-Obama. But this is what they report. Former U.S. President Barack Obama delivered an extended, vicious, coded critique of his successor, Donald Trump, without naming him. He bashed the rise of extreme nationalism and xenophobia and the politics of us versus them. Obama seemed to characterize Trump's America First philosophy as an abandonment of international institutions. In times of disruption, he said, we may go backward instead of forward. We're going to have to replace fear with hope. Obama drew laughter with a thinly veiled kick at the Trump administration's famous embrace of alternative facts. Anyway, I could read more, but you get the gist of it. He's in Canada on foreign soil, making fun of the current president, and really, of course, promoting nationalism, which is what? Internationalism, not nationalism, which is exactly what the elitists in Europe are promoting, that the no borders, the European Union control, forcing them to take in immigrants to get rid of their personal, their national currency, their national stories, their national customs, and become one big, happy global family. And that's what Barack Obama is all about, and that explains, at least in part, some of his policies that were so bad from many of our perspective. I want to move to this reality winner, the 25-year-old girl who has been arrested for leaking secrets. This is interesting. Her mother said that she's scared, she's afraid they're going to make her disappear, and then she said her daughter would never put herself in a position where another person was at risk. She would not jeopardize anyone's safety. She would not. I can tell you that for certainty. She loves children. She loves animals. She's not a threat to anyone. She's not a violent person. I'm a proud mom. I have every reason to be proud of that girl. And then she says, I can't ever call her a traitor or even believe that. No, that is not reality. That's not her. Really, I have to say, that is the problem. I never will forget when O.J. Simpson was arrested and he was under trial and the evidence was overwhelming, even though he was eventually found innocent. But the evidence determined in most of our minds that he was guilty. His mother said, oh, he's a good boy. Oh, he wouldn't do that. You know, that always says to me, that tells me a lot about the parenting that kids have. Her stepfather says, to see her portrayed in the media as something other than a patriot that she is an insult to the service and an insult to every veteran who served. Really? This little girl who has given up top secret information, who had top secret clearance, access to highly classified documents and leaks them to the press to damage this country and its president, who posts on her Facebook page the most vile things, is you know, she's a patriot, though. Remember that, because her parents said so. So that's the update on that. By the way, there's been some talk about Attorney General Sessions resigning. The president, alleged by reports, and I don't doubt this, has been very upset with former Senator Sessions, Attorney General Sessions, for recusing himself from the Russian investigation. And so the word is that he's not going anywhere, that everything's fine. They had some words about that, but everything's worked out. The president wants him to stay on. And by the way, Christopher Wray, the Trump nominee for FBI chief, from my sources, which are good ones, they say that Christopher Wray is very solid, and they seem to be enthused about the choice of Christopher Wray. So I wanted to share that with you because we're in a time of turbulence, and we need good men, don't we? And so it sounds to me at this point, based on information I'm getting, that Christopher Wray, the nominee for FBI director, is that. Well, when we return, my husband will join me. We're going to talk about this whole business of Comey's testimony this morning before the Senate Intelligence Committee. So don't go away. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
The Ice Age and Ice Cores. This is Ken Ham, and we're on a mission to help ignite a new reformation about God's Word. Secular scientists tell us that the ice cores show tens of thousands of years, but they assume millions of years, as well as a belief that present-day slow, gradual processes produce the ice layers. The ice cores need to be interpreted, and our starting point determines how we interpret the evidence. When we start with the Bible's history, we interpret ice cores completely differently. The Bible tells us there was a global flood a few thousand years ago. The flood would have produced an ice age. This ice age was responsible for laying a large part of today's ice cores and in a short period of time. So Bill Nye, the science guy, is wrong. The ice cores are just thousands of years old.
Want to know more about how your starting point determines your interpretation of evidence? Visit our Bible Upholding website to learn more about the true history of the world at AnswersRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Back in 1930, the good folks in Neosho, Missouri, put together a big cross in the city park, about 60 feet long by some estimates, embedded on the side of a hill. And for the past 87 years, not a single person complained, until a few days ago. That's when the town got a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, demanding they take down the cross.
Well, they claim that it's offensive and that it endorses Christianity. We say it's been there since 1930, and it's a historical part of our town and our heritage.
That's Mayor Ben Barker. He says they will not be bullied by a bunch of out-of-town atheists.
The cross is not going to go anywhere.
After years of watching small towns capitulate to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, it's nice to know the good people of Neosho, Missouri are not afraid to fight for what's right. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Tonight, a source familiar with Comey's thinking tells ABC News that the former FBI director will directly contradict what the president wrote in the letter notifying him he was fired.
All right, so that's what ABC News is declaring. They've got it all figured out, you see. And as a matter of fact, James Clapper is doing his part. I think he's in Australia. And so this is a terrible, horrible testimony. It's going to be the end of President Trump. They're going to find obstruction of justice, according to the sources that we've been listening to. In fact, let's listen to clip 12, because James Clapper in Australia piles it on. Let's listen.
I lived through Watergate. I have to say, though, that I think, you know, compare the two, that Watergate pales, really, in my view, as compared to what we're confronting now.
And one last clip. Watergate pales? by what we're experiencing now with this so-called Russian interference, a collusion. It's just amazing. And then last but not least, Sean Hannity had a montage last night of various networks building up for this great, they're gathering in bars in D.C. to watch this, and all the networks are suspending programming, and CNN has spent 10 hours building this up. And so now here it is. Here's clip 10. They're just so excited about finding obstruction of justice. Let's listen.
When you say there is an obstruction case here, who's your target?
The target would be the president of the United States and anybody else that was involved in that decision to fire Jim Comey.
As an attorney, as a U.S. senator, do you consider this to be a growing body of evidence that the president might have attempted to obstruct justice?
Does what we've heard and seen so far constitute obstruction of justice? And if not, how might you go about proving it?
Well, I think it's getting pretty close.
Your reaction to this bombshell report and the White House denial?
Three words: obstruction of justice.
All right, so there you go. That's the way it's coming down, and that's the way it's being presented. And so I've asked my husband this morning, Bruce, as many of you who are longtime listeners know, my husband was in the FBI for almost 25 years. And before that, he served as a prosecutor for Cook County, and that's Chicago, so it's very big. And it's a very big deal to be a Cook County prosecutor. So he knows a lot about the law, about prosecution, and he certainly knows about the FBI. And I've asked him to, we actually have not talked about this, have we, Bruce?
No, we have not.
Yeah, so he's joining me by phone, by the way. So this will be a fresh discussion between you and I, because I'm curious to know, first of all, since they're all claiming obstruction of justice, you have read the Comey statement. From your perspective as an attorney and a former agent, is anything that President Trump said to James Comey approach obstruction of justice from your perspective?
Absolutely not. And I can tell you, if the context of this was changed and it didn't involve President Trump and somebody made statements to Director Comey like that, this would be a non-issue. I absolutely think that Mr. Comey has ramped this up, a lot of it out of his own vanity, because he lost his job and he is embarrassed. Obstruction of justice is actually trying to persuade someone or doing something to stop an investigation. It's destroying evidence. It's lying. It's a tangible, actual action that someone takes. How many people have had bosses that have said things to them like, I need you to be loyal to me? That goes without saying, I think, in most jobs. So anyway,
Before we go to that loyalty thing, the words, as I understand it, Bruce, that Donald Trump chose was, "I hope you can let this thing go." And he basically said, "Mr. General Flynn is a fine man," and Comey agreed. And he said, "I hope you can." You know that he didn't do anything on that. There was nothing illegal about his conversation with the Russian. He's been fired now. I had to let him go because he was not straightforward with the vice president. I hope you can see your way fit to let this go. So that, you say, is not he's the president. He's talking to someone who works for him at his pleasure. That's not obstruction?
That is not obstruction. You can bet that if there was something illegal in what Michael Flynn had said to the Russians, we would know about it. We've known about all the other things because of the leaks, but the only thing that never comes out is what was said by Michael Flynn, and I think that's by design, because I don't believe there was anything illegal said by Mr. Flynn. So now Donald Trump says to his director, who he has every right to speak to and should be speaking to, if there's nothing there, then I hope that you can let Mr. Flynn go and not continue this. It's unethical for prosecutors to pursue somebody if they know there is nothing there to pursue. I'm all for following all the leads and seeing where things lead, but in this case, I have yet to see anything that Mr. Flynn allegedly said to the Russians that was illegal. And Comey has been around long enough that he knows that if something is not proceeding forward, then you should drop it. We have other things to pursue.
Well, the interesting, too, Bruce, and I'm going to get into this in just a second, but I'm going to get into the statement itself, but he certainly has been very open about not prosecuting Mrs. Clinton. He cleared her name when he probably shouldn't have. He shouldn't have, because it wasn't his job to do that. So he didn't have any trepidation whatsoever about coming out in a time during an election when she was a candidate, saying that there would be no charges brought against her, and they couldn't find any motive in her sharing highly classified information carelessly, as he would say. So the Absolutely. Contrast is pretty notable, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, I think if you really want to get to the heart of this issue, you have to go back to the election. And where James Comey let himself get into trouble was, I believe, in his mind, he thought Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. And he wanted to look like the white knight, Mr. Fair, that I'm going to advise Congress that we're still investigating Mrs. Clinton, thinking that shortly thereafter Mrs. Clinton would win the election and that anything regarding her would go away. And then when she lost the election, now he's put himself into trouble with both parties. If you recall, the Democrats were calling for Comey's head. Chuck Schumer and many people saying, I don't believe this man. He's lost all credibility. Countless Democrats said that. So now Jim Comey is going to work for Mr. Trump. And, you know, I think if anything, Mr. Trump showed a lot of loyalty to James Comey by not firing him upon taking office. If I would have been Trump based upon what Comey had done, and the reason I say that is Comey should have either resigned or had a press conference about the meeting between Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton on that tarmac while Mrs. Clinton was under investigation. It's his duty as the director of the FBI, the nation's law enforcement chief, to bring forward an issue like that, not take it upon himself to, well, you know what, now I'm going to make the decision about Mrs. Clinton. There are rules. There's a reason that prosecutors work independently of investigators. Investigators, and I can say this from my own experience, we fall in love with our cases. We think our cases are 100% good to go. And we're not looking at them the way an unbiased person needs to sometimes. So you have the prosecutor's office or the U.S. Attorney's office that then reviews the case and decides whether or not they're going to proceed. And that's done to keep the integrity of the system. If we start bringing cases forward in front of judges or juries that are not good cases, they're going to start believing that none of our cases are any good.
So what you're saying is that Comey took on the role of not only he's got a case, but he took on the role of the Justice Department determining the outcome of that case, whether it would be heard or not, which was not his position to take on.
Yeah, the old adage, he was judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah,
I mean, he wanted to control that entire scenario, and that is completely against the procedures of the Department of Justice and ethical procedures. And what I think what's not been brought to light, too, is, you know, Director Comey is being looked at by the Office of Professional Responsibility by the Department of Justice for possibly violating the rules. And the Office of Professional Responsibility is basically the Internal Affairs Division of the Department of Justice. And my understanding is they are looking at Director Comey. I have no insight to that, but my understanding is that, you know, his actions either have been looked at or are being looked at, that he acted improperly.
Bruce, let's go back to the political part of this. Because a couple of things I want to mention. You know, in this statement, which we've both read now, and again, haven't discussed together, he says... My instincts told me that in the one-on-one setting and the pretense that this was our first discussion about my position meant the dinner was at least in part an effort to have me ask for my job and create some sort of a patronage relationship. That concerned me greatly, given the FBI's traditionally independent status in the executive branch. That's not the political part, but I want to ask you about that phrase. Does that raise any red flags for you, the way he words that? Given the FBI's traditionally independent status in the executive branch, how so?
Well, that does not concern me. But what does concern me is if Mr. Trump wanted to have a political hack or a yes man to be his director of the FBI, he could have easily done that. He could have just fired Comey or asked for his resignation on January 20th when he took office. But Trump did not. He asked Comey to stay on. But now you have a person that was hired as your FBI director by a previous president who, really, you are on a completely different page in your worldview than the prior president. Now, don't you think that you would want to know, if you're going to retain somebody in the highest law enforcement position there is, whether they're loyal to you, whether they're honest with you? To me, when he says, "I want your loyalty," I think that means I want you to do your job. I don't want you to be a political hack for the other side. To me, Jim Comey likes to use the words my instincts and my feelings. You know, that's not the standard that's to be employed in this kind of a situation. The standard to be employed is what are the facts and do they amount to obstruction of justice or whatever issue you're looking at, not your feelings.
Yeah, he does talk about them a lot, like when he says he hid behind the curtain and he talked to Jeff Sessions and asked him to please not to block any requests from President Trump to meet with him personally. And that's another question I have, Bruce, because you love history. So, and you also know, the protocols of the FBI. Is it inappropriate for an FBI director to meet privately with the President of the United States? Is there something inappropriate about that?
Absolutely not. And I think in those private meetings, had Donald Trump done anything that Mr. Comey thought amounted to obstruction of justice, he either would have asked that Mr. Trump be charged or he would have resigned. And I find it curious that he's making Comey's making such a big deal out of these meetings, but yet after each of these meetings, he wrote a memo, he conferred with the upper management of the FBI, and nobody seemed to have a problem with it. It's like, you know, the president has a right to talk to you. He has a right to make his feelings known. But if you look at, again, you have to look at the bottom line. Nothing was changed regarding these investigations as a result of these conversations. And from what Comey's own words say, there was never a direct request from the president change anything about these investigations to stop them. All he said is, "I hope you can see your way to letting this go." That, you know, Trump is not the kind of guy to beat around the bush. I think we've seen, if he wanted this investigation stopped, I think he would have said, "Look, Comey, you either stop this investigation or you and I are going to have a problem." I don't think Trump would just beat around the bush. I find Comey's statement to be self-serving, and I think he's put himself in a trick bag, because you know today James Comey actually is in a very vulnerable position himself, because if he testifies that Donald Trump actually asked him to stop these investigations and then Comey did not report that to the Department of Justice, he's breached his duty, and then he may be the guy who actually obstructed justice.
Okay, well, it's all so interesting, and my husband Bruce has joined me this morning, if you just tuned in, and we're talking about the Comey statement, which he released, and Bruce, when we come back, I'm going to ask you what you think about the timing of that release and what that was all about. He's going to be testifying this morning. I also want to ask you about, the claim that President Trump made that three times he was assured he wasn't under investigation, and that little matter of how that all boiled out in this statement, and why there was no public statement ever that the president wasn't under investigation. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Look briefly at one of your fingers. You've just witnessed one of the greatest displays of God's creative intent there is. No other person in all the world, even an identical twin, shares your fingerprint. God specifically designed each of us to be unique. That means we shouldn't try to carbon copy anyone else in the Christian faith. If God made you an arm in his body or a kneecap, praise be to our glorious God for drawing us to become a part of his body. How freeing it is to realize that we were never meant to copy anyone but Jesus.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The political and cultural landscape of our nation will continue to undergo major changes with the shift in power in our nation's capital. All the issues we care about, religious liberty, the sanctity of life and marriage, national security, immigration, and the economy will be up for debate. Focal Point will help you process it all from a biblical perspective live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 Central on American Family Radio. I'm your congenial, convivial, and amiable host, Brian Fisher, and I approve this message.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is an excellent way to provide yourself with guaranteed permanent income while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. Here's what one supporter told us.
I very much want to see God's word continue into the next generation. This is a way I can help AFA spread the truth and promote their biblical stand. My experience with the AFA Foundation continues to remind me that I have a small part in helping AFA in the battle for our nation's values.
Financial planning is essential to your family. A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is one way you can support AFA and the health of our nation. The planners at the AFA Foundation are here to help you do the most with your finances. You can call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345, find us on Facebook, or email foundation@afa.net, and learn whether a charitable gift annuity is right for you.
This is Frank Affnick with the Secure Freedom Minute. Fired FBI Director James Comey's appearance on Capitol Hill today is being relentlessly promoted by Democrats and journalists who increasingly see him as their last hope to find some basis for their investigative efforts to destroy the Trump presidency. Even National Public Radio last night said many of them now see it as, quote, a dry hole, unquote. Ironically, literally up to the moment when President Trump sacked him, those partisans generally reviled Comey's erratic behavior, grandstanding, and problematic judgment calls, particularly during the 2016 election. Today, though, they're praying such qualities will give them something, anything, with which to justify an inquisition that still lacks solid evidence of wrongdoing by the Trump campaign, and worse yet, that ignores a succession of Democrats who colluded with the Russians in the course of past U.S. elections and/or to the detriment of our national security. This is Frank Affnick.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The obstruction argument is completely illogical here. You know, if you think about it, former Director Comey of the FBI had told President Trump three times that he was not under direct investigation. So he didn't fire Director Comey because he suspected he was under investigation. He fired Director Comey for the way he was handling the FBI. And we just take a step back and look at all of that. I mean, even with the stories about Russia and collusion, this is all hearsay. There's no facts to support it. We've been reporting this for quite a long time, that there is no evidence of collusion between President Trump and the Russians, and yet it perpetuates itself in the media. So I think that this was, in a way, a vindication of President Trump, and it certainly laid to bed any argument that President Trump is being looked
at.
All right, that was Sarah Carter, and you probably don't know her name, but she's one of the writers for Circa News. I've quoted them several times because they've proven to be, you know, front and center, a great resource for what's going on with this. So, Sarah, as she's pointing out, what we haven't said plainly is that you will recall that President Trump, in his letter firing Comey, said that Comey had told him on three separate occasions he was not under investigation, and Comey had sort of done body language hymns and haws to sort of poo-poo that. And yet in his very statement, he lays out at least three times when he did tell President Trump that he personally was not under investigation. And the president had said, you know, this is hampering my ability to get things done. This cloud that's remaining, can you not make a public statement? And yet he refused to do that. And I want to start with that and ask my husband, Bruce, who again, if you just joined us, was with the FBI for almost 25 years and was a former state's attorney for Cook County, which is Chicago. Bruce, is there any reason why the FBI would not have made a public statement to at least remove that? He was the sitting president, after all, and they certainly could understand if Comey were absent of any understanding of the politics of his decisions or its effect on politics, they would know that a sitting president would be hamstrung by this cloud. And if there's no investigation, why couldn't they just say it?
Absolutely. I think there was no reason for them not to come out, the FBI to come out, or the Justice Department to come out and say, look, we currently have no investigation of President Trump. You know, when you're talking about the president, obviously, that is a very, very special position. And when you're allowing a cloud to remain over the president, that makes a cloud over the entire country. And if you're just worried that, well, I don't want to make a mistake in case we have to go after the president later, and I don't want to look bad as James Comey, I don't want to look bad that I said we don't have an investigation, then we end up having one. I mean, I think that's pretty self-serving. And I also think it's not in line with the Department of Justice guidelines that if you're under investigation, and again, if there's nothing there, then it should be dropped. And if somebody from the executive, you know, whether they like it or not, the president is the head of the executive department division of the government, the executive branch. And if he is the boss of the FBI, he is the boss of the Department of Justice. It doesn't mean he can tell them what to do, but he can certainly ask, if there's nothing about me, then please tell people, because it's holding back the whole country moving forward. I just think it's a hybrid situation, and they needed to clarify it, and because of personal feelings, it wasn't done.
Yeah, and Bruce, you know, back to this political thing. In his statement, he says, I added I was not on anybody's side politically and could not be counted on in the traditional political sense. A stance I said was in his best interest as president. Before I comment myself, here's another part of this statement further on. In an abrupt shift, the president turned the conversation to FBI Director, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, saying he hadn't brought up the McCabe thing because I had said McCabe was honorable, although McAuliffe was close to the Clintons and had given them, I think he meant Deputy Director McCabe's wife, campaign money. Although I didn't understand why the president was bringing this up, I repeated that Mr. McCabe was an honorable person. I'd like your comments on whether that was honorable and why that is a very damning situation that really to me, and I don't know if it's to you either, too, as well, that Comey was in fact political because of McCabe. And explain that.
Absolutely. And just for context, McCabe's wife, McCabe was like the number two or three man at the FBI under Comey. And his wife ran for political office in Virginia, and Terry McAuliffe, who's the governor of Virginia and a close Clinton confidant who raised money for them for years, gave approximately $700,000 to her campaign. As an FBI employee, you are required to fill out under oath a financial disclosure form each year. And I had to do it every year, and I had to disclose what you made, what I made, anything like that. McCabe, conveniently or whatever, forgot to put the $700,000 his wife had received as a political donation. Now, that statement, you sign attesting to it that it's the truth, and it's an official document just like anything. And, you know, Comey right there should have said, you know what, we can't have you operating in this position if you can't even comply with filling out a financial disclosure. Plus, it's a political slant. Obviously, McCabe, you know, if his wife is running as a Democrat, I'd say that he probably has Democratic leanings also.
Well, and then remember that McCabe was, Comey put McCabe in charge of the Hillary Clinton email investigation.
Exactly. And, you know, Comey keeps trying to claim that he's not political, that he just plays everything right down the middle. Why in the world, with all the people you have at the FBI that could have been appointed to oversee that investigation, the Hillary Clinton investigation, would he choose McCabe? I mean, that right there to me shows incredibly bad judgment on James Comey's part. I mean, I think there's just instance after instance where Director Comey, while I'm sure he is a nice man, and I've heard many people tell me he's a very nice man, that does not mean you're qualified to stay on as director of the FBI if your judgment is that bad.
Yeah, well, that's a kind rendition of it. Others think it's intentional, and I guess I would be in that camp. You know, Greg Jarrett was on Hannity last night, and he extrapolated a little bit more about what you hinted at it before we took the break about James Comey being in some sort of legal jeopardy himself. If he should hint or indicate in any way in his live testimony today that Donald Trump obstructed justice. Let's listen to what Greg had to say last night on Hannity.
It'll be interesting tomorrow when he testifies, Sean, because he'll be asked, did you think this was obstruction of justice? He's going to dodge.
He has to say no.
Either has to say no or he's going to dodge it. Good luck with that. Because the crime is called misprision of felony. If a federal government official knows of a felony like obstruction, he must, under the law, report it to his superiors at the Department of Justice, in the case of Comey. Failure to do so is a crime punishable by 3 years behind bars.
Okay, so that's what you were talking about, right?
Yes. And, you know, Comey, in his testimony, under oath, in front of Congress, was asked directly, did the president interfere with these investigations? And he said, or ask you to stop these investigations. And he testified, no, the president did not. Now, if he turns around today and says, because nothing in the meantime has happened between Trump and Comey to change any kind of investigation. If Comey now testifies under oath, well, yes, the president did ask me to stop these investigations, or he did interfere, then he has directly contradicted his earlier testimony and basically committed perjury, because this is too big an issue to say, well, to the best of my knowledge, or I'm not quite sure I remember. He remembers exactly what happened, and his duty under oath is to say what happened. Now, what I'm expecting out of Comey today, because he's very intelligent. I've watched him testify. He really has a unique style that a lot of Washington people have of telling you the truth, but not the whole truth. What I expect from him today is that he may infer things, leave things hanging in the wind that makes it look like, well, there was more to this than I testified earlier, but nothing concrete. But still, giving people the idea that, you know what, something bad went on here, and I'm gonna take the opinion that Trump tried to influence these investigations. Because I think Comey has now tarnished his image, and I really think that this is what his testimony is going to be about today, is trying to rehabilitate his image And my understanding is, you know, he's enjoyed this reputation throughout his career as being squeaky clean. But if you look at his actions, I think he's one of these guys that looks really good, smiles, is a nice man, but you better look a little deeper than that to see what he's really all about.
Yeah, and the other thing, Bruce, I thought the timing of the release of this statement was a little strange, and I'll tell you what's rattling about in my head about that. I did find myself wondering if former FBI Director Mueller, who's now the special counsel on this, you know, they got together and talked before Comey testified, which I thought was kind of concerning. You know, what are they doing talking privately? That seemed inappropriate to me. I don't know if you would agree with that, but I just find myself wondering, did Mueller, after reviewing all of this stuff, possibly say to Comey, you're going to have to play this straight? FBI agents are not allowed to lie, as you well know. You get in deep trouble if you even lie on your mileage or how you use your car. Or you cannot lie, or there is a serious penalty. So I wonder if Mueller, after looking over what he was able to see so far, saw that there was really no there, and that Comey really was in jeopardy. And if he tried to make it appear that the president had done any more than what he actually did, he would be in greater trouble. I don't know. Is that any? Do you think that could be in any way possible?
Well, knowing Director Mueller, he's not one to put himself in any kind of jeopardy. So while he talked with, I believe he did talk with Comey, I imagine what he told him is, you just need to tell the truth. Don't exaggerate. Don't underplay it. Don't just play it right down the middle. And, you know, that's all anybody's asked of Comey right from the beginning. And I think if he would have done that, if he would just answer the questions and answer them fully, he would not be in this situation, and neither would we. I think if when Mr. Trump asked him, am I under investigation, and he said no, and then Trump said, well, is there any way you can let people know? They should have let people know. I mean, they should have just issued a statement from the Department of Justice or the FBI saying, at this point in time, there is no active investigation involving the president himself. And, you know, if other people are being looked at, they could have said there are collateral matters being investigated. That's all. And then if something came forward later where Mr. Trump was the target of an investigation, they haven't put themselves in any kind of a locked position where they now have to retreat from their earlier position. If you just lead the statement with, at this particular time. And I think everyone would have been satisfied. There's no reason to leave that inference out there, other than for political reasons, that there might be an investigation about President Trump. I do not see any reason to leave that hang unless it's being done for partisan reasons.
You know, I agree with you. And I think in regard to releasing this statement, I think it was probably Comey was feeling the heat, you know, all of this buildup about the testimony, and he knew that I think people friendly to his persuasion, to Mrs. Clinton and others, were expecting some kind of a barn burner. You know, he was going to say something. And I think the reason he reissued his statement 24 hours early, in part, was to kind of mute that, to get them off his back, to get the pressure off of him for producing what they had expected. Well, Bruce, it's been great to have your perspective. I really appreciate it. I appreciate it every day when we're not on the microphone, but I wanted our listeners to get the benefit of your wisdom on this and your knowledge. So my husband, Bruce, thank you for joining us, Bruce.
Well, thank you for having me. And I wish Director Comey well today. I hope he tells the truth, and I hope the truth comes out, and that from wherever that leads us, we can go forward.
All right. Well, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.